Hello, Vinny.
Hello. I finally made it.
And good morning, whatever it is there. Presumably it's good morning then.
No, it's the afternoon, mate. It's like 2:15 in the Arvo.
Well, good afternoon. How are you, Vinny? Eastwood, welcome to the show.
Oh, mate, it's a pleasure to be back with you, Pat, and I'm seeing your new profile picture here. Looks a lot more slick than the last one. The last one, you look like, I guess you were either incredibly tired or incredibly baked or incredibly chemtrailed. I couldn't figure out which. It was a nice little mix-up thing to be in.
Yeah, thanks for that. That was good for my image, sure.
But now your image looks professional, like L'Oreal Paris.
I don't really do images. I just do it. Yeah, no, I was just on my way back from having confronted Rothschild in the garden, so I looked half dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, Rothschild does suck your life essence away, doesn't it?
I saw nothing actually. There was nothing in there at all. Look in their eyes; it's just like looking into a pile of pus. There's nothing there. Anyway. Vinny Eastwood is the radio show host in New Zealand of which station it was again?
AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
AmericanFreedomRadio.com. So when can people hear you, Vinny?
Well, if you're listening live in the Uber Kingdom, you'd be 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., so late at night when all the conspiracy theorists are still awake, hopefully. And in New Zealand local time, it's midday till 2 p.m. at the moment over the summer. And for those listening in the United States, it's 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, around New York time, and 5 till 7 Central Standard Time, Texas time, and 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time. So I'm doing 5 days a week, getting huge and a little. Truth is an activist from all over the world to come on the show, share their views, I find what I can agree with them on, make sure they have a fun interview, and then put them up on YouTube and audio archives and that kind of thing so the world can hear what these very deep researchers and, in my opinion, some of the most important people and important thinkers in the world today actually think. It's not my job to, harangue them or call them on things or ambush them in the interview or anything like that. It's just to have a nice, fluffy, fun conversation and not be a douchebag about it, really.
What's the main subject in New Zealand that's caught your eye since we last spoke?
Well, tomorrow at 2 p.m. local New Zealand time, I'm going to be down at Aotea Square in the centre of Auckland City, and we're going to be marching on to Sky City Casino, where incidentally, in a casino, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement with hundreds of foreign delegates from a number of countries are all sitting together endlessly debating how they want to kill and enslave any form of freedom or economic justice that currently exists in the country. So that's where I'll be. And that's what's kind of caught my attention at the moment. When the European Economic Community was set up and now, of course, became the European Union, which had all sorts of crazy draconian types of legislation and essentially just destroyed any form of sovereignty, all started off as trade deals. And these trade deals have massive, wide-reaching implications to from medicines to dairy produce to in any real form of economic activity, corporate licensing laws, internet implementations, housing implications. Just basically, if the government wants to do anything, it no longer can because it's part of this trade deal. So if it says we want to run a buy made in New Zealand ad campaign, that would be illegal under the trade deal because it doesn't promote international trade. It instead encourages New Zealand businesses to not be broke. And then you'll get to the WTO-controlled international private court, which always rules in favor of the corporations, and they will then fine your country for trying to help your country. That's about...
So I take it you'll be out there with a bullhorn?
Well, I can give you a visual demonstration for those who will be watching later on YouTube. So we have this thing here. It's a 100-watt megaphone. It's kind of about the size of my torso, and I'm a 6'4" man. There's only four of these in New Zealand. And right next to it, I've got my other one. There is the 15-watt megaphone. So I'll be able to use both in certain positions. This big one here has a tripod, a metal tripod, and a wireless microphone and aerial as well. And then they're both battery-operated. So we should be able to, with 100 watts of megaphone power, this is four times bigger than the smaller normal handheld ones that you see protesters with. They, inside the conference, should be able to hear, if it's up at full volume, every single word that I say.
And
that will be the largest megaphone at the protest. And this is online from a good friend of mine, Daniel Ryan, who's a pretty awesome activist in his own right.
I remember you were almost arrested for handing out leaflets, were you? Or were you actually arrested at one stage? So what's the law of standing there with a megaphone and shouting down the banksters and the population, depopulation, merchants?
Well, you're not allowed to use voice amplification devices without a permit. You're not allowed to hand out information, be they leaflets, be they DVDs, be they free offerings of books or anything. You're not allowed to give out anything for free on the street. People have to approach you first, so you can't go up to them and say, hey, would you like a DVD about how 9/11 was an inside job? That's illegal. But if you just walk up to them and say, hey, that's not illegal. And a little brightly jacketed wearing little council staff quite happy about this. Even at a organized, scheduled, permitted protest, he was still going around seeing people handing out flyers within the protest, within the marches, to the protesters. He said, I will fine you and take your leaflets off you because what you're doing is illegal.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And presumably they'd be able to show you the law there. If they took you to the
station, show you
here's the law. Yeah, it's law now.
Well, they show you council bylaws, and they show you council bylaws, which ain't laws. And they clearly violate free speech laws. So basically, you just ignore them. And if they want to try and here's the other thing, they have the power to confiscate, you know, that, so if I'm using my megaphones and they deem that they don't want me to be using those megaphones, they can actually confiscate them.
Oh,
if I was using a camera, they can also confiscate my camera's.
In the UK, have a beer, you can actually, they confiscate your beer in the park, you know, and that's illegal too.
Yeah.
Like you say, if they deem, that's it. They've made tyranny law. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Martin Luther King who once said, "When tyranny becomes law, resistance becomes duty," and that's part of the reason why I will be down there is out of duty, because if your country is something that you love, and your people is something that you want to protect, if your culture is something you want to preserve, then the onus is on you to find out the things that are threatening those things and go out and oppose them in any way that you can, preferably non-violent. And I found that the most effective way of brainwashing has been done through the media. So, in essence, I go out there and I record all these things happening in order to brainwash people into knowing the truth instead. Brainwash them into realizing that they're being brainwashed, in other words, and brainwash them into knowing that they suddenly don't need to be brainwashed anymore, that they can make their own decisions, they can go out there and do their own research, and they can actually listen to what people are saying and take it on board and maybe try and corroborate it a little bit before they believe any douchebag with a microphone.
In England, in the UK generally, we have care pathways. If we go to hospital, then the consultant or the nurse or whoever it is decides that you should pop off now, that it's if you're terminally ill, they can speed up your death. And that's lovingly called the care pathway, Liverpool care pathway. But we know, and from your studies, Vinny, I'm sure you know, that it's eugenics that runs this whole New World Order system. It's eugenics is the key to understanding why the world is suddenly so upside down, and that they're openly bragging in the media, telling you with a massive notice of grace that yes, oh yes, we're popping people off in hospitals, and oh yes, it's euthanasia, abortions, contraceptive, the pushing and encouraging of family planning. I know you know, and you know I know, that it's eugenics across the planet. So we're under the New World Order system now. I thought I lost you there for a second. We're under this global tyranny, which has been talked about for hundreds of years. And now this is their time. They're chomping at the bit. And they can deem to take away your bullhorn. They can deem to pop you off in the hospital. And I just wondered what the kind of health care system in the New Zealand area, in that part of the world, I wonder if you have similar reports of that same healthcare system, that eugenics-based system being in place, Vinny.
Well, under the Labor government, who had three terms here, they tripled the spending of the healthcare sector. After they tripled the spending on that year, after all the spending and increases were concluded, the medical profession, through properly prescribed medications and treatments, as well as accidents, took the lives of more people, in fact, three times the amount of people that died in the roads. And about 6,000 people, I believe, died of medication mix-ups and side effects, and six people died of foodborne illnesses. And then they pass a law to allow Monsanto employees who are armed and have immunity from prosecution to come onto your property to confiscate or prevent you from sharing seed or sharing vegetables that you grow yourself with your neighbours for fear that it might be contaminated, and they need to impose food safety standards to basically keep you all safe from being able to eat.
While they're spraying the skies and contaminating all our vegetable gardens with sulfate aerosols, aluminium, barium, and God knows what else.
Yeah, well, it'll certainly narrow down the field of people that they'd have to raid, wouldn't it? If so many of them couldn't even grow crops at all.
I don't know, and I don't care if I'm breaking any laws by saying this, but they are murdering people in British hospitals. And if there's, or if something goes wrong with the medication, or they picked up something in hospital, or it's usually something else, but they're actively murdering people in hospitals. And I'm sorry, but I know for a fact, from personal experience, it's going on, and it has been going on from my experience the last 20 years. Now, the only thing I'm ashamed of is that I didn't warn people 20 years ago when I knew it was happening. I have to live with that. I had no access to information. I didn't realize it was eugenics. And now I do. I spend most of my time, much like yourself, warning people that it's happening. So what would you say to people who say, these guys are nuts? They don't know what they're talking about. They're paranoid. They're conspiracy theorists, etc. And we didn't invent that term. The bankers did. What would you say to people who are doubting what we're saying?
Well, it depends. Are they willing to listen? If they're not willing to listen, then I would tell those people to go frack yourself. If they are willing to listen, on the other hand, but they're skeptical and they want to know more, then the access to information has already been granted to you, and there's nothing to stop you from watching 100 or so documentaries to give you at least some greater perspective about how the world truly works. Have you heard about geopolitics? Have you watched a documentary on it? Have you heard about eugenics? Have you heard about the Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Scottish Rite of Freemasonry and the Supreme Council, the Church of Satan, the Temple of Set? Have you heard about the Rockefeller Foundation? Have you seen the Prometheus statue in front of Rockefeller Plaza in New York? Have you seen buildings that are made to withstand multiple airline crashes somehow with the implementation of jet fuel, which is mostly kerosene, crumble all of that into a powdery, fine, dust-like substance? Have you got any awareness of any of these things I'm talking about? If not, each and every one of these topics that I've just mentioned are only but a few of many topics to which I am aware that perhaps you are not. And before coming across and judging, perhaps, and name-calling, you need to be doing an extraordinarily large amount of research. And if your response to that is, oh, I can't be bothered, just give me the facts, then you are already dead. Essentially, like triage on the battlefield is how I would treat you, is that you are not willing to take personal responsibilities for the knowledge that you say and the words that come out of your mouth and the things that you call other people and the things that you do in your personal life. Ergo, I have no use for you. And I'm sorry to be perhaps harsh about it, but there are many, many people in this world who will not be slaves willingly, who do want to gain more knowledge about the world around them, who do want to protect their families, who do wish to honour their ancestors by protecting and preserving freedom, which they all fought and died for. If you cannot do that, if you cannot grasp the magnitude of that decision, then how dare you call me a conspiracy theorist? Do you even know what it means? Do you know who came up with the idea? I believe it was the CIA. In fact, it was Richard Nixon who came up with the term conspiracy theorist, but the CIA who came up with the term conspiracy theory. Richard Nixon demonized, what was his name, Woodward and Bernstein, who exposed him over the Watergate tapes, and he called them conspiracy theorists in order to discredit them. And he was later on found to be part of what? A conspiracy. How interesting. Oh. And David Rockefeller says in his own memoirs that many people accuse me of being part of an evil criminal cabal that intends to destroy the United States and bring about a one-world government. If that is the charge, then I am absolutely, most certainly guilty, and I am damn proud of that fact. Okay?
And it's a world government that they have set up now. Governance. That's your new world order, which they speak about. But have we done our research? Well, I'm looking. Is there a global system in place to reduce the world's population by 80%? And that's a conservative estimate from on record conservative estimate from the United Nations. The real monsters was like everybody gone, apart from themselves, of course. So is there a global system that's eugenics-based and murdering people and mass sterilization? I look back at this book that I'm holding from 1931, from the Scientific Outlook of Lord Bertrand Russell, who worked for MI5, worked for MI6, was in on all the big think tanks of the day that were planning today. So in the 1930s, various philosophies were expounded and written about in very sort of droll language. And here is a quote. If you'll allow me, I'd like to read a page of it. An international government, this is Lord Bertrand Russell, an international government, if it ever comes into being, will have to take account of such matters. And just as there is at present a quota of national immigrants into the United States, so in future there will be a quota of national immigrants into the world. A quota. Children in excess of the licensed figure will presumably be subjected to infanticide. This would be less cruel than the present method, which is to kill them by war or starvation. I am, however, only prophesying a certain future, not advocating it. And he goes on to say that quality as well as quantity of population is likely to become a matter for public regulation. This is only the first step. So there we are, right out of the horse's mouth, if you like. And there are numerous chaps like this that tell you how the future is going to be. Presumably you've seen similar chaps and reports.
There are too numerous to count. If you talk about the term New World Order, for example, Jason Burmes did a film, A New World Order Defined. I forget what it was called. Of Dark Shadows or Shadow Government, A New World Order Defined. I forget. But it's nearly 2 hours of a documentary, most of which is comprised of high-level government, corporate, and public figures stating that there's going to be a new world order and that they're happy about it. All right, and I spoke to Jason after watching the film. I said, dude, there's so much of that. It's like, and it's just a never-ending stream of these really famous people that you've seen and heard of before who lead your countries and all this kind of stuff, these recognizable names, all saying the stuff about the New World Order and how they're going to bring it on, how it's good, and how we're moving towards it at a great pace, and how global governance is going to be so much better for everybody than being able to be free. You know, it's undeniable, just as undeniable as political heckling. When I went down to the archives at the Auckland City Library a couple of years back with my friend and fellow activist Penny Bright, we went through 3 months of election coverage in the New Zealand Herald newspaper. It's like the New York Times of New Zealand, okay? And I kid ye not, Every single day, there was an article demonising a man named Winston Peters, who is an extremely popular politician in this country, who pulls no punches, exposes the privatisation agenda, has even talked about the Rothschilds to a group of sponsors and things like that at a dinner that I was lucky enough to be invited to. Is a former lawyer, has been in politics in this country for 40 years, one of our most successful foreign ministers, and everything that you could really possibly imagine in terms of goodness. And every single day, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's dirty, he takes bribes, he's corrupt, he's slippery, he's dodgy, he's this, he's that, he's the other. And then, because we managed to compile all that, you have a look at the election results. He was polling up around 9-10% of the vote, and he got 4.8% of the vote. You need 5% of the vote in order to get your party into parliament. So that huge demonization campaign that was relentless, this is only one form of media, one form of mainstream media that we were looking at. Okay? It is extraordinary when you have it laid out in front of you, piece by piece, and the cumulative effect on it. Because you don't always see everything all at the same time. It's usually a bit here, a bit there, or whatever. If you want to accelerate that realization process, intensify your study of the thing that you're trying to work out. And I can guarantee you, you will find more than you bargained for. It's the same in every single sector you look into. If you talk about eugenics, can you tell me, what was the rate of cancer of somebody back in the 50s? It was like 1 in 87 or something like that. Child cancer was like 1 in 800. where doctors would literally travel across the Atlantic in order to see a child with cancer because it was so fracking rare. And now child cancer's all over the place. In New Zealand, it went from 1 in 3 to 1 in 2 people being diagnosed with cancer recently. It's extraordinary. My friend told me about his missus who works in the leukemia ward. 10 new cases of leukemia in a week. And you think that there's nothing going on here? What's causing all of this? The whole thing is...
I say a lot of it's in the chemtrail, a lot of it's in the food, a lot of it's... No, that's
not my point. That's not the point. The point is not to just suddenly go, oh, it's this, that, and the other, and da-da-da-da-da. The point is to get to the questioning part and the multiple questioning part, because it's like my friend Jan Irvin says, you've got to use the trivium. It's logic, it's reason, it's deductive, it's grammar, okay? It's ensuring that when you're taking in thoughts, when you're taking in concepts...
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Saying that something is altered in the environment, you know?
Exactly. Now, you've got to think about it step by step, though, and exactly work out how it's altering the environment. So, firstly, what's happening? What do we see? We see IQs dropping sharply, sperm rates going through the floor. We have massive amounts of chronic illnesses and life-threatening diseases propping up all over the West. We have an economic implosions happening. We have sovereignty and global freedom of all kinds being eroded from countries right underneath their feet using trade deals. We have their economies essentially controlled independently from what the people would want through private banking cartels known as either the Federal Reserve or the Bank of England or the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, who essentially ensure that all economic activity goes to the bankers and not to the people whom actually earned that wealth and created it. So you have a look at all these different factors. That's what we know is going on. So who? Okay, there's the who, what, when, where, why, and you save the how for last. Okay, how are they doing it? Most people think that why would they do it? You know, they save the why for the very first thing. No. That's intention. It's very difficult to prove intention unless you know you've got a trail to follow. So you know what's going on. When did this start? And you have a look back, and it's basically as soon as the First World War was instituted, which was soon after the Federal Reserve Bank Act of the United States and the Bank of England and all of these banking cartel scumbaggery and all of these international trade deals that are going on, the world wars, which are staged and used to suck nations into debt so that they can keep continually paying off the bankers for all their war debt for in perpetuity.
Around about the same time that the Royal Institute of International Affairs was begun by the bankers.
Exactly. So you get these list of coincidences coming through. Then you have Henry Kissinger in the 1970s. Going into the Arab world and striking up these huge oil deals so that they had a conditionality based upon the purchase of oil from these people in US dollars, and that they would also use some of their profits to purchase the US national debt. And that national debt would be held in bonds, which would keep inflating and inflating and inflating with a massive cake of debt until eventually the whole house of cards would come down. They didn't tell the Arabs about this, though. They did instead tell them to buy gold just before they crashed the prices of gold in the 70s and 80s and made it basically worth very, very cheap by comparison to what it was. And the Arab world lost a lot of wealth, and they wound up having to borrow a lot of money from the bankers. And then you get all these into Middle East things going on, huge quantities of drugs being trafficked through Afghanistan and Colombia and all these other places where the US seems to put its footfall. Drugs come out and weapons go in, and they stir up all of these conflicts all over the place. And this is all admitted. These are the things that we know. So fast forward to the present day. 9/11 happens, kills 3,000 Americans, and ever since 9/11, every single horrible thing that the United States government has ever done, whether that be warrantless wiretaps, Guantanamo Bay...
Lost Vinny there for a second.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Patrick?
Yes, we can hear you, Vinny.
Okay.
I can hear you.
All right, well,
Patrick,
maybe...
Patrick, are you there?
Yeah. I think Patrick must be a little bit on the wonky side, but I'll continue on anyway. So after 9/11, you get the Patriot Act, you get your wireless wiretaps, and you get a whole quantity of massive scumbaggery that's basically threatening to destroy absolutely everything in the entire planet with depleted uranium, dust, and things all over the place. And then you have a look at some of the concepts behind this. Hierarchy, domination, and eugenics. Eugenics is essentially the process of dumbing down people, of preventing them from breeding, and if necessary, to exterminate them by any means necessary. You have a look into vaccine reactions and how a lot of the big, bad childhood diseases that used to kill people back in the day don't kill people anymore, but a whole lot of real bad chronic diseases that destroy people's lives in perpetuity, but keep them buying medications in order to treat said diseases, are vaccine reactions. So the intelligence is plummeting, economic freedom and even social freedom in any way, shape or form is absolutely plummeting, and everything is becoming more centralized and people are becoming less independent. Ergo, people are becoming more dependent. And globalization is the process. Yeah, we can hear you now, Patrick, you're back. And
sorry,
I was just
Vinny,
going to...
I'm not sure if you're aware. Sorry, Vinny, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but we lost you there.
No, we lost you, Pat. You were the one who was lost, mate. I just wanted to finish my point here.
I wasn't sure if we were still broadcasting or not, were we? Did people get to hear what you were saying?
It doesn't matter, I'm recording it on the Skype regardless, mate.
Yes, it was recording.
Okay, thanks, buddy. If you finish your point there, Vinny, we've just got about sort of 14 minutes left, and there's a couple of other subjects I want to get to, so please finish your point there.
Okay, so the end goal here is interdependence. Now, that's what globalization is. If you've got a supply line, for example, a lot of manufacturers will know what I'm talking about, is that you've got these things called a one-day shortfall supply, so that if you don't get your stock delivered the next day by the following day, you'll be completely out of stock. You'll be screwed. That means you've got no independence and you're completely reliant on people who are outside of your particular district for your very survival. And that's the whole goal of interdependence, to lead everybody into dependence. That's globalization. That's hierarchy. That is the very system that is coming through here. We'd all be very aware of it, of its eclectic nature.
Well said. It's a good roundup. I think Monsanto do roundup. Getting back to eugenics and the murder of people in hospitals, in England, for example, from the Mail Online, there's a headline where they're blatantly telling you what's happening. Now sick babies go on death pathway. And there's a doctor's haunting testimony reveals how children are put on an end-of-life plan. I'll just read the first four lines. The practice of withdrawing food and fluid by tube being used on young patients. Doctors admit starving and dehydrating 10 babies to death in a neonatal unit. The Liverpool care pathway, subject of independent inquiry ordered by ministers. Investigation, including child patients, will look at whether cash payments to hospitals to hit death pathway targets have influenced doctors' decisions. So what I'm trying
they
to say...
They have a death pathway target?
Absolute, yeah, pathway target. So basically, the hospitals are murdering people, so my advice is to stay well clear of them if you can. And getting back to the world state, the initiation of a global system, again... Bertrand Russell in the Scientific Outlook says, and I quote, for it is only in the direction of an organized world state that a human race can develop unless it abandons scientific technique, and it will not do this except as a result of a cataclysm so severe as to lower the whole level of civilization. The advantages to be derived from an organized world state are great and obvious. There will be, in the first place, security against war and a saving of almost the whole effort and expense now devoted to competitive armaments. There will be, one must suppose, a single highly efficient fighting machine employing mainly aeroplanes and chemical methods of warfare, which will be quite obviously irresistible and will therefore not be resisted. So he's talking about a single, highly efficient fighting machine. There's your one world army, if you like. Vinnie Eastwood from New Zealand is live with us on the Free Truth Show. We're broadcasting live from the south of England. Vinny,
you know NATO. Well, you know how some people have been signed up to NATO and what have you. John Key, our Prime Minister, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York for two years in charge of the European bond and derivatives trade, visited NATO headquarters and signed us up to it over the weekend, about like 10 weeks ago. Yeah, it's just, is it prime ministerial duty, you know, sign up a South Pacific nation to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization just over the weekend, you know, a few scotches.
Yeah, China's set to rule Australia and New Zealand. China is set to rule. Be prepared to be governed by China.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd prefer to be governed by China because rather than the United States, because in the United States, they got more people in prison total than in China.
Well, Vinnie Eastwood, I'd like to draw attention to this article. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It came out on November the 2nd, 2012, and it's on the Australian website. So the website is the Australian. I've been monitoring the situation and various forums about this, and I've seen it coming for some time, and I've decided to ignore it until now. But I want to draw this to attention. I want to draw this to people's attention because there are a lot of hard-working people out there trying to get the information out to people peacefully that we're under attack from these chemical and biological weapons that are being sprayed from aircraft by unmarked military aircraft mainly. Now, I know you're peaceful. You know I'm peaceful. And I've seen this coming. And for years, for 4 years, I've always maintained and made sure I've said I'm peaceful, non-violent, non-violent, peaceful, because I've seen this coming. It may be a test to see how activists like myself, warning people of that they're being sprayed, it may be a test to see how we react. Well, here's my reaction. And the headline goes, jet pilots fear chemtrail attacks. A nice picture of spraying there. Airline pilots fear their jumbos could be shot down by conspiracy theorists who believe they are being poisoned by commercial aircraft. The conspiracy theorists are part of a global chemtrail movement that claims jets are spraying toxic chemicals over heavily populated towns and cities around the world. Threats to shoot down aircraft or harming pilots are becoming more prevalent, overt, and alarming, says Mike Glynn, a current airline captain and former vice president of the Australian and International Pilots Association. While most can be counted as empty threats, there remains the possibility that some unhinged individual or group may act. It is beginning to cause consternation in pilot ranks. Now, Sydney-sider Robert Hoogenboom and Melbourne actor Peter Kuznir, who used to be a bit part actor in Neighbours, funnily enough, are part of a movement, although both say they advocate peaceful protests and there is no suggestion that they have made any threats or engaged in any violent contact. Now, I've interviewed both of these people, Robert Hoogenboom and Peter Kuznir, PK22 on YouTube, and none of them will reply to any of my contact regarding this article. And it ends by saying, after two interviews in which he promoted the chemtrail cause, Hoogenboom later withdrew all his claims. I have no other evidence, he said. So how dare the people behind this article, and we're going to find out who they are and expose them for being New World Order minion murdering bastards. How dare they try and undermine our peaceful efforts. How low and dirty is this trick? This is absolutely pathetic.
You know, it's a better question. How could we have not seen this coming?
Before I absolutely blow my lid, I would like your thoughts on that, Vinny.
but the better question, Patrick, is how could we have not seen this coming?
Exactly.
It's pretty obvious,
it's
isn't it?
It's incredible.
I mean, look, they demonize anything.
You know, it's there it is. So if that, hopefully that's the last one for some time, but there's legal implications here, you know, and they do it with 9/11 truthers and they blame it on the Patriots and stuff. They're setting up false flag attacks in America as we speak now. They're going to blame it on the Patriot movement. So screw you, you New World Order bastards. We're going to carry on being peaceful. Sorry you don't like that, but we're going to carry on being peaceful and warning people about what's happening so they can make an informed decision about how to stay healthy in the meantime.
Yeah.
As far as abuse is concerned, people are on their own.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's song comes to mind. Don't worry about the Rockefellers. Don't worry about the chemtrails. Don't worry about the vaccines. Blame it on the boogie.
That's a new low for me. That's a new low. So if they want to study my reaction, there it is. You know, they can put that in their virtual you program. Pathetic, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you come to expect it from these filthy trash. But you know what will be funny? You have a look at the comment sections on those articles, and you'll find that within days, they are flooded 90 to 1 with conspiracy theorists going, you scumbags are lying, we'd never shoot down these planes, and here's the evidence, and here's like 70,000 links. So anybody who's going online and reading these articles and what have you will suddenly be exposed to all of our propaganda, and they're more likely to even pay attention to that than all the crap that they've just been fed. They are their own worst enemy. I mean, the worst thing you can do to a conspiracy theorist is come out and attack them with lies, because they're experts at taking lies, dissecting them, and then injecting the truth back into you like a cure for a fracking parasite.
Before we go, there's a London Chemtrail Awareness Conference. As far as I know, the first of its kind in London. I'll be speaking at the London Chemtrail Awareness Conference on December the 14th. December the 14th, 2012, at the Lighthouse, Lancaster Road, Ladbroke Grove, London. Mr. Max Bliss from YouTube will also be speaking. Ben Fellows and, Ben Dodds will be speaking. And Alan Potter and myself will be speaking. It starts at 2 o'clock. It's a free event. And it's probably the first of its kind where we actually tell you in the conference that it's actually happening rather than proposed methods. So thank you to Mona Norman. We've just got 3 minutes left here. So the London Chemtrail Awareness Conference 2012, 2 p.m. Lighthouse, Lancaster Road, Ladbroke Grove, London. And there's an after presentation venue in Notting Hill at the Tabernacle, 8 minutes walk from the Lighthouse. So people who want to join in the discussion but unable to make the conference, food and drinks from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So a short walk afterwards to Notting Hill. We'll see if we can get Hugh Grant along, eh?
Well, better yet, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Thanks for contributing to making society even more degenerate.
You're welcome.
And you a beer. Not you. Yeah, cheers, Benny. Thanks for contributing to society, making it degenerate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, time has flown, and it's always been a pleasure speaking to you, and will continue to be a pleasure, a peaceful pleasure in the future. And thanks for joining us today, Vinny, and all the best to you, and best of luck at whatever you do, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Well, and last thing, if anybody would like to donate to me, I'm in a real financial crisis in the Christmas sense of the word at the moment, so go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com or just Google Vinny Eastwood, Vinny with a Y, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news, and please make a donation today so I can stay on the air and keep exposing scumbaggery for you.
Well, thanks again, Vinny. All the best and best of luck.
Good night. Cheers, mate.